Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It is lovely to be together. Special hello to Southwest Campus, online campus. Trust that you're doing well today. We're just a few days into the Christmas season. Though Christmas Day has passed, Christmas season has just begun, and we're right on the brink of a new year. We are in that middle week that can be like, what day is it? What time is it? That kind of, that time of year. But it's a beautiful time of year where we can enjoy maybe a little bit more rest or a little bit more busy with family or friends or just things to do. But this time of year is like loaded with looking back, right? You turn the radio on, top 10 songs of 2019, or, you know, because it's the end of a decade, you know, top plays of the decade and all those kind of like remembering moments where people look back. And also, we're in that in-between space where people are also looking forward to the new year. 2020 vision, right? Like that kind of idea. And so, in light of that reality, looking back, looking ahead, I want to give you all a belated Christmas gift. And the belated Christmas gift is time and space to reflect on the year that has been and to pay attention to our lives. Now, you might be like, that's an unwanted gift, much like the booster cables my dad got my mom one year. And maybe some of you here are like, yeah, I know what an unwanted gift is like. I'm don't want to battle the malls to return it yet. But it's a gift for us nonetheless. We're going to intentionally take time as individuals and as a community this weekend to acknowledge and admit where we are at as individuals. We've been in this series through Advent called Beyond, looking at Christmas from beyond the human experience, from our perspective, from heaven's perspective. And this weekend, we've called it Beyond Confession, because confession is not only confessing what has happened, you know, convictions over the past, but a confession can also be about our commitments moving forward. And so we want to go beyond confession, looking back and looking forward. And it can be really hard to do that. It's so easy to go through life and through, you know, church without actually stopping to pay attention to what's going on beneath the surface. I mean, when was the last time you took a half hour to just reflect on your life? To reflect on your actions or your inactions or your reactions? Or examining the ways in which your behavior and attitudes are impacted and are the overflow of what's going on beneath the surface. One of the more impactful books I've read is called The Voice of Jesus. And it starts by saying that every Christian should know two things. First, what do you think Jesus is saying to you at this point in your life? Every Christian should be able to answer that. What is Jesus saying to you at this point in your life? And second, how do you know that it is indeed Jesus? So this weekend, I want to give us all the gift of space and opportunity to answer those two questions, to pay attention to the loving voice of Jesus at this particular moment in our lives. And we're going to be anchoring our time together in one sentence, one verse, Lamentations 3, verse 40. It says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." Will you say that with me? Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. So this is an invitation for us to be intentional about how we examine our lives. And this verse reveals that reflection and examination, it serves as a precursor in our movement towards the Lord. William Booth once said that the tendency of fire is to go out. So watch the fire on the altar of your heart. Because just like fire naturally goes out, so too we naturally drift. Or the passionate fire of our hearts naturally goes out. So reflection is the means by which we return or stay close to the Lord. Lamentations, where we find this verse, it's a collection of poems that were written as a lament to the people of God. See, God's people, they weren't examining their lives. And as a result of that, they ended up living in exile. Their country was destroyed. The temple burned. Lives torn apart. They were living in a foreign place, subjected to foreign leadership. That was all kinds of hard for them. And while they were in that state, while they were in exile, the word of the Lord came to them saying, look, this does not have to be the end of your story. You do not have to stay here. This doesn't have to be how it ends. There is a new pathway forward for you. But here's what you have to do. Pay attention to your life. Reflect on it. Examine your ways. I love that this word came to God's people while they were in exile, while they were out to sea drifting. And I imagine that some of us here can resonate with that, feeling like 2019 took us drifting, or perhaps firmly entrenched in exile. And to you, I say that the way forward to return to the Lord, it's a pathway of examining and testing our ways. And for those here today that are like, you know what, I actually feel really close to the Lord. Things are going really, really well. I'm not in exile right now. I'm in the promised land. Well, you know that the only way that happens is by intentionally examining and testing our ways. That's how it happens. Let us examine our ways and test them. And let us return to the Lord. I've always found it interesting when the Bible says, let us. Like, who's preventing us? You know, rarely is there a person actively preventing us from engaging in the following, you know, behavior. You know, when it comes to examining and testing our ways, no one out there is preventing us. The only one that prevents us from testing and examining our ways is ourselves, or the situations that we allow to be our reality. And we prevent ourselves from doing this in a myriad of ways. We do so because of how busy we are. Or we prevent ourselves from doing this because we don't even know how. We don't know how to examine and test our ways. Or perhaps maybe we're scared to slow down. And we're scared to listen to this still, small whisper. Or because we're just way too connected and the noise of this world, which is very loud, is our comfort and our norm. It's so scary how easy it is to go through life without paying attention to the still, small voice of the Lord in our midst. You know, we struggle to take inventory of our lives, and it is entirely to our detriment. Corrie Ten Boom once said, "If the devil can't make you sin, he will make you busy." Carl Jung, the psychologist, said, "Hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil." And Socrates, famed philosopher, and perhaps you know this, said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." What Dutch resistance fighters and psychologists and philosophers have all discovered is that hurry and sin have the same impact on our lives. They cut off our connection with God. No meaningful relationship is built in a hurry. No health is arrived at in a rush. There's no life hack for a vibrant and healthy soul. And not only do hurry and busy and not examining our lives cut off our intimacy with God, it actually cuts off our intimacy with others. And it cuts off the intimacy with ourselves. Have you ever had a reaction that you're like, where did that come from? You know, an entirely disproportionate response to a situation or circumstance. You know, on the offense scale, it was like a 1 or a 2, and you responded with like a 38. That doesn't make sense. Where did that come from? We need to examine ourselves, to probe our ways so we know why we do what we do, to be reflective and to pay attention to the rhythms of our lives. And if we don't, we will end up in all kinds of places, making all kinds of choices that we never thought we would. And we do so because we fail to pay attention to what's going on. One therapist was quoted as saying that the single biggest stumbling block to emotional health and spiritually vibrant lives was that people are just too busy to live it out. So this weekend, we want to slow down, to take inventory. We want to let ourselves take time and to orient our affection and attention to the Lord. And Lamentations describes it happening in two ways. Happens as we examine our ways and as we test them. Examine and test. It sounds like two similar realities. The first thing we do is we uncover what is going on in our lives. And then once we uncover what's going on, we test and we see if that is consistent with what we believe. It's a two-step process that we're being invited to. First one, we lift the lid off the box of our souls. And once we've done that, we pay attention to what's revealed. We examine what's going on under the surface. But I know that that's very nerve-wracking. I know that this takes courage and it takes vulnerability. It's really hard to lift the lid off and to just vulnerably examine where we are at. And not only does it take courage and vulnerability to do this, but we really need to be careful while we do this. We need to be careful for two reasons. The first reason, it's really, really easy for us to beat ourselves up over what's revealed. We lift the lid, we look, and we're like, oh, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? And we just beat ourselves up. I know better. I shouldn't have made that choice. And we're relentless to ourselves. You know that verse, love your neighbor as yourself? You know, if we loved our neighbors the way we love ourselves, we would so often be called bullies. We can be so hard to ourselves. So when we lift the lid off the box, we need to know that Jesus is relentlessly tender and kind. A bruised reed he will not break. Lift the lid. And just trust that what God reveals is what we need to see. So we need to be careful for that we don't beat ourselves up. The second reason why we need to be careful is because it's really, really easy for us to justify and dismiss things. We lift the lid, we look underneath, and we're like, oh, that's not a big deal. Something comes bubbling to the surface. Oh, I don't know. That's fine. That's not that big of a deal. And we just dismiss it. And we just brush it aside. We must be completely open to what the Lord says and what he reveals. And with vulnerability and with courage, allow him to reveal in us exactly that which he wants us to see. In other words, we depend on the Spirit's illumination rather than our own judgmental or dismissive self. We allow him to illumine our lives. Once we've opened the lid, so to speak, we test our actions, we test our habits, we test our ways. And Paul talks a great deal about our ability to deceive ourselves. 1 Corinthians 4, it says this, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. You might be like, I'm fine. No, we don't trust our own. We say, Lord, we don't trust our own judgment. We say, Lord, will you reveal what I need to see? Will you show me what I need to see? Will you help me examine and test my ways? So we pay attention to how we live. You know, are our actions and our reactions consistent with what we believe? Is there a congruency with our lives? Is there alignment between our values and what we do? To put it another way, do the lives we live reflect the commitments that we hold to? I got to preach the first weekend of 2019. You know, I love that I get the bookends. I get to preach the first, I get to preach the last. And 51 weeks ago from this spot, at this time, I said this. At the risk of being too blunt, if we are not more loving, more gracious, hospitable, patient, honest, pure, and holy than we were 6 months ago, we should examine and test how we are living. Are we those things from last year? Is the character and characteristics of Christ more real in us? Are we more joyful? Are we more generous? Are we more kind, more trusting, more optimistic, more hopeful, more full of faith than we were 51 weeks ago? We examine and we test, and we are people of courage and vulnerability, trusting in the goodness of the Lord to reveal what needs to be revealed in us. One of the most influential theologians in church history, he starts off his seminal work by saying, the more we know ourselves, the more we will know the Lord. And the more we know the Lord, the more we will know ourselves. As we slow down and pay attention to the Lord, he will help us understand ourselves. And as we pay attention to ourselves, our emotions, our affections, our longings, our desires, our actions, reactions, inactions, as we pay attention to those things, we're going to see who God is more clearly and how he's created us to live. Slowing down, paying attention helps us know God and helps us know ourselves. And here's how we do this. One of the ways. An examine. In the 1500s, a man named Ignatius of Loyola created a practice called the examine. And it's been used for hundreds of years as a way for people to perceive the Lord's presence in their midst. Often done at the end of the day, could be done throughout the day. The examine helps us see God's hand at work in the entirety of our experience. And the examine gives us time and focus to detect God's fingerprints on our days. Asking such questions like, what was I most grateful for today? Where did I see the Lord at work today? Or, where did I miss the Lord today? Was that annoying ruckus from the neighbors really the Lord's way of reminding me to pray for them because it's been a few weeks or months? What's most alive in me? These kind of questions. And they help us see the Lord at work in us and through us and around us. Now, this was originally designed to be at least a daily event. And I cannot recommend it enough for that. If you look up the examine, the daily examine, it'll show up. There's all kinds of really good questions. It's an amazing practice to help us pay attention to the Lord. But for our purposes today, I don't want us to take an examine of the day, but of the whole year. One pastor called it, we're going to do a grand examine. And the reason we do this, the reason we do a grand examine, is it helps us locate ourselves. You know, we often look ahead to the next year without actually knowing where we're at first and foremost. You know when you're in the mall and you need to know where a store is, you go to one of those billboards, you tap the screen, and you say, oh, okay, it's over there. Well, that's not much good unless you look for the red dot on the map that says you are here. It's only once you know where you're at that you can know how to accurately get to where you're wanting to go. And so before we ever enter 2020, I want us to put a big red dot on our lives saying you are here. Paying attention to where we're at. One big red dot. You are here. So we're going to do this in four ways. We're going to look back, we're going to look through, we're going to look around, and we're going to look forward. And in that order. In a moment, a slide's going to come up with a handful of questions. And here, there's four questions on the first one. Just pick one. We don't have time to go through every question. Just pick one. Pick the one that jumps out to you. Even if it's not the one you want. Whichever one jumps off the page at you, just do that question. Grab a piece of paper from in front of you, or if you're really bold and really disciplined, you can use your phone, but it's really easy to get distracted. notification. So the questions will come up. Just pick one. And then say, Lord, will you illumine what I need to see? Will you speak to me? Will you show me what I need to know with this question? And then after a couple of minutes, the band's going to lead us in a song, because I think that's a really beautiful picture for how this journey as a Christian community is meant to be. We have individual walks with the Lord that is expressed communally. So we listen to the Lord, what he has for us in our stories, in our lives, and then we'll worship together, and then we'll move on to the next question. It's this holistic, individual, corporate worship. So we're going to start by looking back, but before we jump in there, I want to pray for us, okay? So let's pray. Lord, you're good and you're kind, you're present, you are with us, Emmanuel. And so in these next few moments, I ask that you will speak to us, your people, for we desperately need to hear from you. Help us locate ourselves. Help us pay attention to what you're doing in our lives and through our lives. Help us hear from you. And any voice or any lie that would seek to steal from this moment, you just have no place here in Jesus' name. This is sacred ground to hear from the Lord. So God, will you speak to us? For we, your people, are listening. Like I said, we won't have time for all these questions, but here's one of the things that God's word continually promises, is that when we seek him with all of our hearts, we will find him. So we will get out of this experience what we put into this experience. So let's start by looking back. Looking back. Pick which one of these questions jumps out to you. The first one. Where have I been at spiritually this year? What's been the spiritual story of your year? Or second, when was God most real to you? When was he most distant? Where did you grow this year? What was a win, a victory for you this year? Or fourth, where did you err? And you need to confess that. Let's take a few moments to look back. Next, we look through our lives. We look to our heart, or our head, or our hands. Whichever one of these jumps out at you. Your heart, what is your main affection? What do you love? What do you give your attention to? What sits on the altar of your heart? What steals your attention? Or your head, how's your thought life? Healthy, unhealthy, bitterness, greed, malice, jealousy, pure, holy. What captivates your imagination? Or hands, what are you committing yourself to? What are you building? What are you giving yourself to? Are you serving? Are you being generous with your time? You're building your life upon. Let's look through. Thank you. Next, we look around. I was told all the time growing up, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Who's around you? Who's in your life? Who are you running with? Who do you need to run with? Who are your friends? Who needs to be a friend? Who do you need to invite into the journey with you? Maybe a doctor, a counselor, a friend, a small group. What community support do you need? Or perhaps who's not around you, but you're being called to go and to invite to be around you? Let's look around at what community support we need in this season. Forward. Where do you sense God is calling you forward? What do you sense your soul needs in this next season? What are your hopes and dreams for this coming year? What are the Lord's hopes and dreams for you this coming year? Let's together listen and look forward. Thank you. Seated. Lamentations 3:40 has three invitations for us: to examine, to test, and then let us return to the Lord. So before we end our time, I just want to touch on that last little portion. Let us examine our ways, test our ways, and let us return to the Lord. Notice the "let us" phrase again. Nothing that could ever be surfaced in our testing and our examining could prevent us from returning to the Lord. In fact, as we examine and as we test ourselves, those are often the very ways by which we are invited to return to Him. The only thing that could ever prevent us from a return to the Lord is ourselves. Nothing can separate us from Him except that which we choose to allow to. Whether that be our pride or our unwillingness to acknowledge current reality. But the Lord asks us, return with your whole self, as beautifully broken as we may be. I've said it before and I'll probably say it again, but as we learn to posture ourselves before the Lord and ask Him to search us, whatever the Lord reveals in us, He wants to heal in us. So we return to Him. Like I said, Christmas isn't over. The Christmas season has just begun, where we celebrate and remember that Jesus has come, that He is with us. The question is not if He will have us. The question is if we will let ourselves return to Him. In the order of this verse, it's really important. Examine, test, return. The point of examining and testing ourselves is that we may return to Him, that life is one of movement. The point is not to get stuck, which is what so frequently happens. You know, it's so easy to obsess on our shortcomings or our fears or our shame or our pain, and we actually can just get stuck there. Or we bury what's going on, or we whatever bubbles to the surface, we just brush it aside and pretend it doesn't exist, or we hide. But life with Jesus is a life of being aware of what's going on under the surface and processing it together with God and following Jesus forward. Augustine gets quoted a lot when he says, "My heart is restless unless it rests with Thee." And the context of what he's talking about there is an object in motion will always be in motion until it comes to its resting spot, like a bubble rising to the surface or a rock falling down a cliff. It will keep going until it finds its resting spot. And Augustine is saying that our soul's resting spot is with the Lord. And when we pay attention to what's going on beneath the surface, we find our resting place with Him. And Hebrews 4 has this beautiful promise that there is this Sabbath rest that exists for God's people. And the author says, let us make every attempt to enter that rest. Wholeness of soul, peace, shalom. Let's rest with God. And right before we're told about this rest that exists, the author says, today, don't harden your heart if you hear His voice. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts like you have other times. It says it twice in Hebrews 3 and then again in Hebrews 4. Today, church, if you have heard his voice, don't harden your hearts and brush it aside. Don't dismiss. Don't ignore. Pay attention. And may we be a people that return to the Lord. All of us, we drift. Let us return to him. The point of placing ourselves on the map is not self-infatuation so much as it is an orientation of where God is inviting us to greater joy, greater life, greater intimacy with him, and of spiritual power and freedom. And the Christian faith has always been one where Jesus peels back the layers of emotion, peels back the layers of heart and affections. And people come to him and says, I've done everything. What do I need to do? And he just peels back the layers of the heart. And rather than just some quick fix, like a life hack, he just says, no, I'm going to invite you into a process. Come, follow me. One step at a time. Let's do life together. As we have placed ourselves on the map today, and as we head into a new year, let us return to the Lord. Let's walk with him in the process. Let's follow him. You know, we don't know what 2020 holds. For some, there might be great optimism. For some, there might be a lot of fear. And for all of us, we just don't know what lies ahead. And while we know not what 2020 holds, we know the one who walks with us through it all. Just come with me. Come with me. Let's go through this together. So may we be a people this year that slow down and examine and test our ways as individuals, as a community. May we learn to slow down and to pay attention to the Lord in our midst as we return to him and as we walk with him. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for just your attentive focus on us and our lives and our circumstances and situations, and that the things that are brought up in our fears or in our concerns, those are the ways that you invite us to return to you. So today we look to you. Help us to know you better so that we can know ourselves better, and help us know ourselves better so we can know you better. We long to walk with you with ever-increasing intimacy and joy and passion and vibrancy. We're so grateful to be led by you. We love you and we need you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.